Before I entered seminary, I had the chance to work with a group called Catholic Youth Expeditions, a ministry out of eastern Wisconsin, which specialized in taking young people, high school students and young adults, up into northern Wisconsin, into Door County, to take them away from their everyday life, to force them to turn off their cell phones for 76, 73 hours or so, and to bring them to encounter with nature, with one another, and with the Lord through prayer and proclamation of the gospel. And what was amazing about these expedition retreats that I had the privilege to be a part of during that year was that though they all had the same basic structure, none of them was the same, right? There was always a different combination of people at each one of them, all coming for different reasons and from different places. There were people who were there primarily to hang out with each other, with their friends. There were cliques, right? There were people there who were there primarily to flirt because they were high school students. Not that that happens here. There were people who were hurting in their own ways, people who were loners, who had deep pain in their life, weren't sure why they were coming, and yet they were there. All sorts of different people in different places in their lives. But what was amazing about these retreats is that some moment would happen. You couldn't tell when it was going to happen. It was always a surprise. It was never planned. That some moment would happen in which everything was totally transformed, in which there was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and the cliques after this moment were no longer cliques. The loners were no longer loners. Those who were there for other reasons forgot about those reasons. And everyone was drawn together in an incredible experience of joy. An overflowing, superabundant joy. It just bubbled up in everybody. It was effervescent. It was a spirit of celebration, something that young people have a special province of expertise in. It was amazing. It was qualitatively different from any other joy that we experience in the world. This was the thing about it, because it wasn't rooted or based in things that pass away, things that were uncertain, things that are fleeting. But those young people knew it was rooted in something that was rock solid and dependable, which was the Lord's concrete and personal love for them, which no one could take away. And this delivered to them what St. Paul calls in our second reading today, that peace of God which surpasses all understanding. These memories of these retreats that came back to me this last week as I was considering our theme for these Advent homilies, the theme of joy as an essential aspect of the Christian life. That we as Christians are called to joy, and not the joys the world often talks about, joys that can so easily come and go, joys that are fleeting, but the spiritual joy that gives us something to stand on, that gives us an abiding sense of well-being and knowledge of the Lord's unshakable love and care for us. And what's interesting about our readings today, brothers and sisters, is that joy isn't simply recommended to us. It's not simply offered to us as an option in our life. No, actually, that joy is commanded to us. It's a commandment. St. Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice." The prophet Zephaniah, speaking to Israel in heart in a time of hardship, says, "Shout for joy, O daughter Zion. Sing joyfully, O Israel. Be glad, O daughter Jerusalem." The church today says Gaudete, which means rejoice. It says wear pink even if you don't want to wear pink. It orders us, it commands us to be joyful in the Lord. Which might raise a question in our hearts. Is joy something that can be commanded? Can joy be commanded? Isn't it a gift? Isn't it an emotion? Is that something we're really in charge of? How is it that God or the church can command us to be joyful? And that question becomes especially poignant when we think of people in challenging times in their lives, people who are suffering under great burdens, of grief and loss and pain? How is it that even them can be called, can be commanded to be joyful? It seems almost cruel. How is it that joy can be commanded? To help us get at this, I'd like to just make one observation that's very important about joy in our lives as human beings. And that is that joy, whatever kind of joy it is in our life, is always the fruit and the function of love. Joy is a function of our loves in life, by which I simply mean that we enjoy the things that we love, right? If I love a certain friend and I haven't seen him for a long time, I wait with great expectation and anticipation for his arrival, and when I see him at the door, my heart is filled with joy. Right? It's one of the great experiences of human life to be reconciled with a friend, to embrace, to have joy at their presence because we love them. Our love gives us joy. Or to take a more mundane example, if I like food, as I might, right? And I'm hungry, and I'm waiting for a long time, when that plate is finally put before me and I see that beautiful medium rare steak, I rejoice. I'm joyful, right? Because my love gives me joy in the presence of the thing that I love. Or if I'm from Minnesota and I want snow for Christmas and I love snow, snow gives me joy. It's the things that we love, it's our loves that determine what gives us joy in our lives. And the great question for us, the great challenge for us, is to find those things to love which give true and abiding joy. Because if we set our hearts upon things that pass, our joy will also pass and be replaced by sorrow. And that doesn't mean we can't have any joy or pleasure at passing things. But we must know how to love things in their proper place, in their proper order, in their proper measure. It's fine to love food. We have stomachs. God made us that way for a reason, right? But we shouldn't love our food more than the people that we're enjoying a meal with, right? If we do that, we'll probably be rude and we won't have any friends and we'll be sad, okay? Or it's an okay thing in life to appreciate what money can help us do, right? And to have a certain kind of joy at that. But we shouldn't love money more than our family and our friends or even our strangers who are poor. If we do that, we'll become Scrooge and he's not a happy man. Or it's a fine thing to love, and a good thing, a beautiful thing, one of the most important things in life, to love our friends and our family. But we shouldn't love them more than moral goodness. If we do that, we become the Godfather, right? And if anybody hasn't seen that movie, it's not a happy story. He's not a happy person, okay? In our life, if we want to find true joy, a joy that lasts, we must learn how to set our hearts first and foremost on a good that lasts. And here's the thing, here's the kicker, brothers and sisters. There is no good in this world that lasts. Everything in this world that we see, that we might set our hearts on, that we might choose to love and seek our joy in, is a thing that passes away, no matter how good it is. Even if it's apple stock, it passes away, right? You can laugh. That was a joke. Okay, that was reality. That was contemporary commentary. Okay. Everything passes away. Even the most abiding things. Because, of course, what each one of us has to come to realize in our life is that our lives are things that end. They end in death. And the thing about death is that it takes away everything we have. And so if we want to find a lasting joy, a joy that we can stand on, a joy that's stable and firm and not fleeting. And it's the imperative of our hearts to find such a joy. Everything depends on finding something to love that is more powerful than death. We must find something to love that is more powerful than death. And this is actually a commandment, believe it or not. It's the great commandment. You may have heard of it. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your strength. And in him you shall find your joy. And so our question about joy and whether or not it can be commanded, it actually leads us to a deeper question, which is the question of whether or not love is something that can be commanded. Is it not something free? Would we not laugh at and mock somebody who grabbed us by the shoulders in the street and said, "Love me, I order you to love me"? Of course, that would be ridiculous. But love can be commanded if it is given. All love calls for a response. And this is the thing about Christmas, this is what we celebrate in this season of Advent, is that love has been given. God has given his love to us. And not in a shallow way, not in a passing way, not in a superficial way, but in a deep way, in an abiding way, in an absolute way. His word has become flesh for us. His son has become man for us. He has entered into our human condition, right down to the depths, right down to the darkest corner, right down to the deepest sorrow of suffering and pain and death, so that we could know that no matter what befalls us in life, no matter what we go through, no matter how much suffering we might have, that he is always with us with his love. And there is nothing that can take that away from us. And if we set our hearts on him, we can be filled with a joy that never passes away. This is what happened in those retreats that I was a part of. Those kids were taken away from the false joys, the passing joys of their daily lives, and presented with the true joy that God alone can give. And God took advantage of that opportunity. He poured out his Holy Spirit. All we have to do is give him the opportunity, and he will show us the joy that he can give us. This is what Advent is about, friends. It's what John the Baptist called the people of Israel to, into the desert, away from the passing things of this world to the one thing that endures. Advent is a time when we can train our hearts, discipline our loves, so that we can choose, first and foremost and above all, to love the God who has loved us with his whole mind, heart, and strength, and so find in him a joy. A joy that we can stand on. Love can be commanded because love has been given. Joy can be commanded because joy has been given. He is coming. He is coming to give himself to us once again. Gaudete, rejoice.